Happy Monday, everybody. We're getting ready to head up to Minnesota to talk to listener Mackenzie about an amazing mother-daughter trip on a budget down to Walt Disney World. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the site to save you time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. And if you're looking for a hard-to-get ADR, don't forget they have a service on their site that'll help you find that evasive ADR that may be just eluding you and you never know. They have a way to help you secure that reservation. Lots of great ways to plan your next Disney vacation. This is a great site to start. Check them out today over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1189 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Welcome to the last Monday of June. Can you believe it? June is already passing us by. We've still got a long way, a lot of summer in front of us. But man, we're getting close to that podcast cruise, I can tell you, less than 10 days. And we're going to be sailing off, at least till I go down to Walt Disney World out in the Caribbean. Joining me today to talk about a great mother-daughter trip, we're headed up to where it's probably beautiful this time of year, I'm guessing. We're heading up to Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, I think it is. We have listener Mackenzie. How's it going, Mackenzie?
Hey, it's going good. I'm excited to be recording this today.
So did I get it right? Are you guys the land of 10,000 lakes? I think I saw that on a license plate somewhere.
Oh, yes. It is like all over cabins, lakes, all that kind of stuff. We're never here in the weekends in the summer. And then we're snowed in the winter.
Yeah. Let's don't talk in January. I don't think I'd want to be there.
Right, exactly.
All right. So let's talk about your Disney trip. You contacted me. You said you did a great mother-daughter trip. And the one thing that kind of stood out to me, a couple things when you gave me some of the brief notes, were that you were at Walt Disney World for a length of time, but you didn't go into the parks every day. And you also kind of swung this trip on a budget, which I think two important things to consider. You can have a lot of magic, but you don't always have to spend a lot of money. So I'm really excited for that. So kind of kick it off with, when you guys went, where you stayed, and who traveled with you.
You bet. So we went March 23rd through the 28th of 2017. So it was 5 nights and 6 days. And we did. We tried to kind of do it on a budget. And you can only do so much doing Disney on a budget. But we've been to Disney. You know, we go every couple of years. I'm 27, and I brought my mom with me. And so we didn't necessarily need to do everything in every park. So we did 2 days of one park hopper and one day ticket. And otherwise, there's so much to do outside the parks in Disney, from Boardwalk to Disney Springs. We just did so much that you didn't need to be in a theme park for. But I think the thing that works so good is having someone who travels like you do. So my mom and I are those people who go from sunup to sundown. We know we don't get there very often, so we're going to make it the most of it while we're there. And because we have to go during spring break, with my mom being a teacher, we do a ton of planning, but we also leave time to, you know, we see the Jaminators performing, we can stop for that, or we see a character. So we kind of do the balance of, we plan a lot so we can still do stuff during spring break crowds, but we leave that wiggle room to do the spontaneous stuff as well.
So it sounds like you have a really good, solid foundation of, you know, how to temper your expectations, especially for spring break crowds, but also how not to kill yourself, because I think the temptation for a lot of folks when you're going down for less than a week, you really want to, like, you know, squeeze every ounce out of every minute, which you guys were doing, but you weren't doing it where you're always standing in a queue or you're, you know, waiting in a line to see a show. So do you have a background? Do you go down there frequently? That, because when you do that, it kind of gives you that freedom that we don't have to go 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. So we go down like maybe once a year, once every 2 years. So we just have the lay of the land down, which is really nice. And because we've been down there, we know like the transportation system. So we know like we can take buses here, we can take boats here, monorails here. And then the other thing that's nice about our trip is we do the Disney dining plan. So for us, it's almost like a cruise in the fact that when we go down, we have, it's like an all-inclusive. So we have our transportation, we have our hotel, we have our dining. We really don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about parking or directions. You know, Disney does all that for us. So other than tipping and shopping and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of, we just go down, it's an all-inclusive, and we just have to bop around and do that. So it kind of takes some of the stress off of not being in one spot and all that kind of stuff, which is priceless for us going down.
Yeah, I totally agree. It does churn your vacation package when you have the dining plan. Everything's kind of prepaid. It's just go down, have fun. You know, don't check out every price on every menu. Just order what you want. I couldn't agree more with that. Now, let me ask you about this real quick. You mentioned the planning, which I think we love hitting on here on Mondays because we have Uber planners out in the audience. You know, I know almost everybody that listens is. So how did you and your mom go about, you know, deciding when, well, you said she's a teacher, so you decided on spring break, but where to stay, scheduling ADRs, fast passes, all that good stuff. You know, if you did, how do you work that out? Cause I'm assuming, do you guys still live together? No. Or did you do it online? How'd you do that stuff?
Yes. So so we live together. So a lot of it we could do face to face that we bought to dinners and planned. But to me, the planning is almost just as much fun as going down there. So I just love like listening to podcasts and reading books on it and trivia books and seeing all the newest and greatest that came out. I think we looked at just about every menu on all the Disney restaurants to figure out where we want to eat. Like we just put so much time into it. But when you love Disney as much as we do, it's not a chore. It's so much fun leading up to it. And as much as you count down the days, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, the week it's going to be over and we've been planning for this for 9 months, you know? So I listen to podcasts every morning on the way to work. So it's fun planning, which I like.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it extends the experience. You know, I can kind of sympathize with what you say about how, you know, we're about, like I said, about 10 days out from the podcast cruise. And there's just a little part of me that's like already getting kind of sad because I know that I won't have that to look forward to like I've had to look forward to for the last like 18 months. I mean, that's sick. I haven't even gone on the cruise yet. But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying because it's always nice to have that carrot out there on the horizon. Like, okay, let's just get through this month. Let's get through this week, you know, and we get to have that fun vacation.
Right.
So I get it.
In our weather in the winter too, you know, it's like you want to get out of here. You want to get to the sun. You don't want to be in the snow anymore.
100%.
So that doesn't help either.
So now you guys stayed at Sports. So tell me how that worked out for you guys.
Yeah. So for us, we used our resort to sleep a very short amount of time. And we always say to carry our shopping bags. So for us, it just works great. We don't spend a lot of time at the pool or in our room. So really, we just need a place to sleep, a place to store our bags, and we're off. We probably set the record for the fewest hours spent in the resort this year. But the thing I like about Sports is that the bus stops there first. So when we are sharing buses with all of the All-Stars, it stops at ours first, which means usually we get a seat. We always get on the bus. It drops off first. So that's one perk I really like about the Sports is it's kind of the first bus stop. But really, I've stayed in all the value resorts, and they're all great. But this one happened to be the cheapest, and we kind of would rather spend our money elsewhere than on the resort.
You know what? I have a feeling I know what you spent your money on. Looking at your notes now, so you guys arrive, you catch Magical Express, another money saver. You don't have to rent a car. As long as you're cool with Disney transportation, which is very good. You guys headed over to the boathouse and had dinner. But is this right? You have over 1,000 Disney pins. That's why you have to stay at Sports. No, just kidding.
Just right, exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah. So I've been a pin trader ever since I was. I think I started when I was in high school when I was going down and. And it's such a fun hobby. You can trade pins with the cast members, so they all wear lanyards. And then there's boards all over Magic Kingdom. So at every gift shop, every country around World Showcase, Epcot has tables, so we can do actual trading between pin traders. And then there's a pin trading group up here in Minnesota. So it's a fun hobby, and I have all displayed in books and. Little Disney fandom here at home.
So it's a very social thing though, right? Because I've never been into the pin trading just because I don't want to have, I guess it would be a good thing for me because they're not big. I don't want to collect stuff because we have a really small house, and it's just like, I'm a completionist too. And I know you can never complete the pins. So, but they're sets and stuff. And I know that'd be a bad road for me to start down, but what's your best advice? Cause I get this a lot, working with guests for the Magic for Less, their kids, maybe want to do some pin trading. Mallory's done it a little bit in the past. And what I've noticed is I really make her have that interaction with the cast member during the trade. It's not just like point to that one, make the trade, talk to them. I think that's cool. But is there a way to get some maybe cheaper pins to kind of trade? Because, you don't want to buy the expensive ones and then trade them away, right?
Exactly. So what we do is we go on eBay before our trip. So they have to be Disney certified pins. So it can't just be like a universal pin and trade for a Disney pin. But so we go online on eBay and get pins for like 25 cents, 50 cents. Really cheap pin sets that people are trading. And so then we bring those pins down with us, and then we trade those pins to the lanyards and back. So we get, cast member exclusives. And then I have some that I've gotten over the years that I'll trade. And so I actually trade those like limited edition pins and some cool cast member pins with other pin traders. Because cast members, you can trade any pin for them and they have to make the trade versus when you're trading with people, they like a good deal.
That's
kind of fun because you get both. But exactly, I've had so many magical moments with cast members because when you stop and slow down and really have those conversations with them, you learn the fun stories, you learn where they're from, you talk about favorite characters. It just, everyone down there is so nice, but you sometimes don't take the time to slow down and actually talk to the cast members. I like that aspect of it too.
I love that too, because you really get to know people. That's why I just love talking to cast members in general. It's so fun just to, because I think a lot of times they want to talk, they're standing there, it makes their day go faster to meet somebody from Minnesota or St. Louis or, wherever you're from, Australia. Is there a holy grail pin that you're looking for? Like, do you collect a certain character or kind of attraction, anything like that?
Yeah. So I collect a little bit of everything, but I have a big collection of Tower of Terror pins. So I'm always on the hunt for another one. But like the cast member pins are all set, So a lot of times we're like, oh, we want the macadamia cookies we were after this year. And so it's kind of the thrill of the hunt too, like you're going around to these lanyards and these boards and you're like, oh, I don't have that color yet, or I don't have that character. So it's kind of the thrill of the hunt. You never know what you're going to find. And it's just another activity that if you bring pins ahead of time, it can be, not super expensive. And it's just another fun thing to do around the theme park.
Love it. Love it. Great tips for something to do, on your vacation. Everybody can participate, and great way to have some, great interactions with folks from all around the world. All right. So let's talk about your first full day there, your day two. You guys ended up going to the Magic Kingdom and the studios on this day. It's one of the 2 days where you went into the park. So looking back, what were some of the highlights of that day? How did it go?
Yeah. So we got there. So we started off in Magic Kingdom, and I got there about 45 minutes before rope drop. And it was an extra magic hour day. And this is kind of controversial in the Disney world, but a lot of people say to avoid the extra magic hours because it ends up being busier in the park that day. But for me, I can get so much crammed into that 1 hour before the park really opens and the crowds really come in. So I did that, and I got Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, walked straight onto that, saw all four princesses in Fairy Tale Hall, did Ariel's Grotto, Goofy's Barnstormer, and Dumbo all in the first hour. And so that was a bunch of things checked off my to-do list for the day that, you know, was done before 9 a.m. park opening. And so I totally understand that it's also probably the busiest park that day for the rest of the day. But if you really have those big attractions and those meet and greets that you want to get to, I think it's priceless to get there early, get in line, and really use that hour to get through some of those.
Yeah, again, I 100% agree with you on that. I go to the extra magic hours in the morning, but here's my rule. If you're going to be even, like, say the extra magic hour starts at 8. If you're going to get there at 8:05, you're out of luck. Like, you have to be there before, like, you were there way early. That's the key. Like, you got to be ready to go, like, at the starting gun, and then you because you're ahead of the crowds. But if, say, like, the extra magic hour is 8 and then the park opens at 9, you roll in at 8:30, you're done. You know what? You've just lost that hour because you're behind the crowd. So if you're going to do it, you got to go all in. You got to be there, you know, 30 minutes early or so. But that's great advice because, you know, you don't always have to avoid them. And like you said, that's a good time to hop once the crowds, because here's what I think happens psychologically with it. I think people go to the extra magic hour morning park, even though they don't make those, they make the attempt, like the night before, we're going to go there. Exactly. And then they still show up at like 10. And that park gets crowded. And it's like, man, you totally missed the extra magic hours by 2 hours, and that park gets crowded. But like you did, you hopped as soon as the crowds got heavy, I would imagine.
So we made fast passes for three attractions that I hadn't been to before. So Haunted Mansion, Jungle Cruise, and the Talking Misty. And I know that's crazy, but I had never been to Haunted Mansion before, so we did that. And then we went to Be Our Guest restaurant for the first time, and that was just, it's magical. I think there's no way it's not the best value, especially with the dining plan at the Magic Kingdom, because the atmosphere is beautiful. And like at lunch, it's a quick service credit, but you feel like it's a table service experience. You know, they bring the food to you. You're in this awesome atmosphere, and you just feel like you're kind of transported to that world. But another one that we not only made a reservation for, but we did the online order ahead of time. And that saved a whole nother line when we got there. So I know people think that with an advanced reservation, you're going to walk right in. But that's one that's still with a reservation. You still have to wait in line to get your food. So ordering ahead of time on their app is priceless. That saves a lot of time.
Yeah, preparation from home, boy, can make your vacation so smooth when you get there. I know people complain about it, but it's so hard to explain that to somebody who's not a person who's traveled there. Like, you're making reservations for 6 months from now? Yeah, I mean, you know. I know, but I'm telling you, if you don't.
Right.
Exactly, I'm telling you, you'll be hungry 6 months from now if I don't do this, or else I'll be eating, you know, chicken nuggets somewhere where I don't want to eat. So, yeah, it's hard to explain.
Right.
Cool. So tell us about when you guys, because I like how you kind of transitioned over to the studios. You didn't use the express bus. Again, that would be an extra cost, but you kind of made the journey over to the studios part of the vacation as well.
Exactly. So we love resort hopping. We love going to different resorts, seeing their gift shop, again, doing their concierge desk to see their pin book. So that's part of the experience for us. So instead of just, you know, doing express transportation, this time we took the monorail over to the Contemporary to get to spend some time over there. And since we took a monorail, we got to get some of these transportation pins, or I'm sorry, cards. And we just had the funnest time getting all the transportation cards. So you can ask like the conductors or the bus drivers for transportation cards, and they're little like trading cards. And there's different ones for the monorails, the buses, the boats. And it's just another free thing that it has a little trivia on the back. You can collect them. You're trying to get all the different colors. Like I think there's 12 different monorail ones with the different colors on it. So it's just another fun, free experience that makes transporting from different places a little bit more fun and enjoyable.
I think I have a transportation card from the monorail somewhere from way back in the day when I rode up front. Yeah. It's a shame you can't ride up front anymore. But yeah, that was it's interesting. So
it's another way to talk to cast members and kind of open up that experience.
And it's a memento of that time, you know, because like, you know, you can't ride up front the monorails anymore, but that's a memory from the time that we could. So I'm glad I have that. So how'd it go once you got to the studios? How'd you guys do over there? Because you didn't arrive, obviously, in the morning. You kind of got there midway through the day.
Yes. So the really cool thing is that we had a little mixed up in our reservation when we were making it with Disney early on. And so once we called to fix that, they gave us these kind of free fast passes that we could go up to any ride at any point during the day, scan that, and we could go in the fast pass line. Which saved us because, like you said, we could make our fast passes for Magic Kingdom in the morning. And then we knew it would be super busy once we got to Hollywood Studios. So that was nice because my mom doesn't ride rides. So I actually got her fast passes as well. So I got to ride Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. And those are my two favorites. And so I rode them over and over and over again to use our own fast passes. But it was nice because then I didn't have to stand in the lines and go through all that at that time of day. So that kind of saved us with the park hopping.
Nice.
But then we did the Frozen show, which was fun. I'd heard a lot about that. And then actually Olaf was only a 10-minute wait. So I think he's just tucked back there enough.
Yes.
That he's kind of, you know, not on everybody's mind. But he was so interactive with us. And that would be one I would promote to anybody going over there because it's a short line. He's interactive. So definitely kind of a hidden one over there.
That's all. Yeah, he is kind of in a weird spot there. So let me ask you too about this because, and I hate to talk food all the time, but we do that a lot here on the show. You ate at the Brown Derby Lounge and got the Cobb salad. Yeah. So what'd you think? Ricky was raving about this place about a month ago when she went down that first weekend before the Pandora preview. What were your thoughts? Is this a recommendation or somewhere you might skip next time?
Totally. So it's the Brown Derby Lounge. So it's kind of right outside the Brown Derby. And it doesn't work with the Disney dining plan, which is the only thing. But we just knew we couldn't pass up these Cobb salads that everyone talks about. So we tried it, and they are phenomenal. They're totally worth it. And it's just a really good atmosphere because it's kind of, you know, kind of on that Sunset Boulevard over there. And it's kind of relaxing, tucked away. And with it being two parks in one day, by that time we were so ready to just sit down and reflect on our day. And so it was a great spot to just kind of be low-key, but still get those Cobb salads from the Brown Derby. Definitely worth a trip.
Let me ask us about your mom, though. You said she doesn't ride attractions. What does she tend to do while you're doing the attractions over and over? Does she, like, shop, or does she just kind of hang out and people watch? What's kind of her MO during these times?
Yeah, so she'll do, like, the characters that come out and do kind of the little skits at Hollywood Studios. She'll do, like, One Man's Dream is so much fun in there. I swear if we had a whole day to spend looking at all that stuff, it would be cool. She gets shopping. There's some shows. So the nice thing about Disney is there's something for everybody. You know, there's always something going on. So she's a great sport when I'm going on all those rides.
Sounds good.
But it's nice I have fast passes because it doesn't quite take as long for me
That's true.
To get on and off.
I was just wondering. Yeah, that's cool. So now on the next day, you guys headed over to, I guess it was Disney Springs, it looks like, to meet another famous St. Louisan. Just kidding. He actually is from St. Louis. I'm not famous, but he is. It's Ridley Pearson, the author from the Kingdom Keepers series. He lives in Clayton here in St. Louis. So how was that interaction, meeting a Disney author there?
Yeah, so we got super lucky. So Ridley Pearson does the Kingdom Keepers series, and he was only doing like 3 book tours this year, or like book stops, after he released this book. So we found out he was going to be down there about maybe 3 weeks before. So we just like were astounded that we were going to hit this right, because there's no planning that can time that well. So I got there about 2 hours. It started at 10, so I got there about 2 hours before. And in Disney fashion, they had like corrals to line people up. You went in and bought your book, got wristbands, brought you back out. There were managers there talking with you. They brought over samples from the Goofy's, the Goofy candy shop across the street, kind of from Art of Disney. So, I mean, they just took care of everyone. It was so smooth. And then when we finally got in, Ridley's such a great, personable guy. He went around and saw people in the crowd. He signed our books, took pictures with us. You know, he just took that extra, it doesn't take long, but that extra minute to just ask about you and where you're from and what you like about the books. And, you know, he just took that little extra time, which I thought was kind of that magical experience of it. And I heard he stayed for like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
So that's a long time for meeting people.
Yeah, it is. But that's awesome to hear, because I think, you know, kind of like we were talking about podcasts, when you listen to a podcast for a period of time, you kind of feel like you have a relationship with that person. I think that's definitely true. Yeah. With an author, you know, when you're invested into what they put down pen to paper, and you know, you know their characters, but when you think about it, that character came out of that person's mind. It's so awesome when the interaction you have with them is a positive one, because then you're really like, okay, I, you know, because you've obviously invested tons of time in the series, and it's just, it's so cool when that is what you expect it to be.
Exactly. So we just loved that experience, and just that it fell. It's like one of those magical moments when it just falls right in your lap on your trip. And so that was cool. He was at Epcot the day before, and there was at Disney Springs. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, this day was pretty awesome, because you guys, so you were at Disney Springs now. You had appetizers over at Homecoming. I think this might be the thing I'm looking forward to the most, other than the cruise, going down to Walt Disney World, because every person comes home raving about this, and this is my kind of food. So what'd you think?
And I think, you know, I've heard good reviews about it before I left, but, you know, we were excited about Boathouse and, you know, all these things. Homecoming was the, like, underdog that came, you know, in and just packed such a punch. So we knew we were going to kind of like it. So we came for lunch this day and kind of told them, like, we're coming for dinner tomorrow, but we're just doing, like, you know, some appetizers today. We'll be back. And so we had their Jasper board, which is kind of like a charcuterie board. And it was out of this world. It was, like, meats and cheeses and, you know, candied nuts and pickles. And, I mean, it's the Four Seasons porch is beautiful. The food is awesome. The waiting staff are nice. They don't rush you. And you're sitting right on the water, which is just like, you just look around and you're like, I could get used to this. we loved it. That was bar none our favorite restaurant that we stopped at while we were there.
You're killing me. I have, totally. I'm going to go there before, somehow getting in there before the cruise and after the cruise. It has to happen.
Good.
It has to happen.
Good. I think there's enough to try. It's awesome.
Yeah, I might have to change my middle name to Art maybe by the end of the trip. I'm thinking. I'm scared because I could eat a lot there. So anyway, so now after that, and this is the ultimate day. This is like the ultimate Mike Rallman day. Boy, you got to meet a St. Louisan. You got to go to Homecoming. Then you capped the day with one of my best friends and just one of the greatest cast members of all time, Yeehaw Bob over at Riverside. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So we have never been to Yeehaw Bob before. And so this was a totally new experience. We didn't know what to expect. So we get there, and I do advise getting there early to get a seat, because if you're going to spend the 2, 3, 5 hours with him, you're going to want a good seat. So it's worth getting there early, grab a drink, settle in for the night. So we got there probably an hour before he started performing and got a fun spot right at the bar. And the fun part is he kind of comes around, he circulates the crowd, he meets people, and if you let him know you're excited, you know, I was like, I'm just so excited to see this, I've heard so much about you, and he had been up to Minnesota, and he works the crowd so well. So then when he starts doing his show tunes and his Disney songs, he gets the crowd going. So, like, I had to lead a conga line around the Riverside Lounge, and he gets everyone involved. So we went through the first show, and then we met a couple families, and they were, you know, we all got some beers, and they're like, just stay for the second show, stay for a little bit, you know, and so we did. So we stayed first, second show of the night, and then couldn't leave. So we stayed until midnight there, because he's such a good entertainer, and to watch live music, you know, having a couple drinks, it was awesome. I love it there.
I know exactly what you're saying. I've walked out with Bob expecting to just see, like, oh, we'll just come in, we'll have one drink, we'll watch the first set, and we'll take off, you know? And it was like, I'm walking, you know, we're walking to our car, and so is Bob. You know, it's like, hey, how you doing, man? This is great. Yeah, it's so funny because the great advice about getting there early, you got to get a seat. But the one thing that's remarkable to me about Bob is you mentioned how he works the room before the show starts. He'll go around and kind of do like a meet and greet with everybody that's there, just kind of see where everybody's from and thank everybody for coming out. But he'll remember your name from the time that he meets you at that table at like 8 o'clock before the show starts. He'll still call you out and where you're from at 11:30, and he'll keep track of everybody coming in. I don't know how he does that. That's like a magician's trick or something.
It's totally true. And he'll call people out, like if it's their birthday or if it's, you know, they're from a crazy place or if they do something funny during the show, it becomes a bit. Or he's so personable. It astounds me. I could never be up there for 4 hours and do what he does.
Yes. And I love absolutely everything he does for the community down in Central Florida, Give Kids the World in particular. He is just, he's an angel. Yeah. He's a gem. So, all right. So let's talk about the next day. You guys headed over to Epcot, kind of a late night, but then you got to hit Epcot. Bob kept you up late, but you had to go to Epcot. So how'd that go?
Yeah. So by the time, you know, when you leave Riverside, you can't just go directly to All Star. So I don't think we got back to our room with transportation for like 1:30. So then we had, bought this Epcot one day ticket about 3 weeks before we left. We decided we want to go in the parks one more day. So we bought it really close to our trip. So there was no way we were going to get a Frozen Ever After Fast Pass. So I got there about an hour before rope drop. And the nice thing about Epcot rope drop is that you kind of get halfway and a half hour before. And then like the Jaminators performed. And so it's not like you're just standing in a line for an hour before rope drop. So like we saw the Jaminators perform and all kinds of stuff. So then right as it rope drop, I beelined it for Norway. And I kind of forgot exactly how far it is from the ball to Norway. It seems like, oh, it's just the first country. But when you're speed walking to Norway, like I was like huffing and puffing by the time I got there. Like it's a longer distance than you give it credit for. But when I got there, I walked right on. Rode Frozen Ever After, and out of all the new attractions I tried on this trip, that was by far my favorite. I was blown away. I just thought the whole ride experience was great, and all the animations, and I thought it was awesome. So then I think everyone, when I got off, was still in line for that. So I got to meet Anna and Elsa quick before that skyrocketed as well. So it can be done. I'll give the people who can't get a fast pass for that a chance, because if you get there and you get there early and just beeline it, it can be done.
100%. You just got to sacrifice the sleep. But if you do that, you're fine. You know, you could. And I don't know how you did that. You were there way early after staying out late. Woo, that's a tough one. Hope it didn't catch up.
And then we went over and did Inside Out and those characters. And again, that's another one that they were so interactive, more than any characters I'd seen. Between Olaf and Inside Out were the two such interactive characters, and for not being talking characters, that's, you know, kind of astounding too. But so that was fun. We did Mickey and Friends. I had a fast pass for them, and then I made the mistake of trying Mission Space for the first time. I am good with roller coasters, Thor, and all that kind of stuff, but I am a one and done for Mission Space.
There's a lot of people like that. That's why there's never a line.
Right, exactly. But now I can say I've done it. But Epcot is just fun. It was a great one to have a day pass for. We did Flower and Garden Festival was going on while we were there. So we did World Showcase. But one thing we hadn't been down for before is it was the egg hunt for Easter. So there's these like big eggs that are hidden, one in each country, and you can pay, I think it was like $5 to get a map with the stickers of the eggs, and then you go around to each country and you put the stickers on as you see the different eggs in the countries. And of course, we had to take pictures of all of them, but it's just another fun way to explore the world, especially, you know, we enjoy it, but even if you have kids, it's just one more thing they get to find in each country. We did the press tennies in each country. You know, it adds another dimension to going around the world, which is fun.
That's awesome. And plus you have kind of a souvenir both ways to take home with you. You know, you have something to remember the day with. I like that. And so now I hate to do this, but I just noticed, I didn't see this initially in the email, but you guys went over to the Yacht and Beach and caught a bus so you could head back to Disney Springs. Where'd you have dinner this night?
Yep, at homecoming. So this was our like full-on homecoming. So we had the fried chicken and you know, the whole experience out on the Four Season porch. But my favorite part is we had the chocolate pecan pie, and if anyone goes there, you have to have it. It is out of this world, out of this world. So definitely have to try that one of your nights when you go down there.
Mackenzie, you are killing me. You are killing me here. I didn't even know you the second time until I just saw the notes again. Somehow that slipped past.
Oh, it was so good.
But I love how you maximize your time in the parks, but you also spend a lot of time at Disney Springs doing other things. So the next day, it was your last day. You just kind of, you know, took it easy. So tell us about how you enjoyed Disney, but not going to the parks. How'd you wrap up the trip?
Yeah. So we finally slept in a day, which hadn't happened yet. So we slept in a little bit and then just spent the whole day at Disney Springs. So we didn't try to do more than we could. We just knew that we wanted to see, you know, Uniqlo, which is so fun, Alex and Ani, Kate Spade, Pandora. Like, there's just so many shops there now. And we have been there since it kind of remodeled. So we just had a blast going around to all that. And then in the afternoon, we did margaritas out on the dockside bar at Boat House. And that's to die for, because they just let you, you know, relax and have a margarita, be on the water. So that was a great relaxing afternoon to have when you know you have to go back to Minnesota the next day.
And that's a great way to, you know, that's actually a great way to end a trip, because it gives you kind of time to decompress. Because Disney even though it's a vacation, it can get, you can get all, you know, your nerves all balled up because you're going and going and going. You're not sleeping enough. Sleeping in a little bit was probably nice, and just kind of going somewhere where you didn't have to stand in line, but you were still having some great Disney experiences. That sounds like a great way to wrap things.
Exactly. Yes. And then we ate at Morimoto Asia the last night, up on the roof, so we got to look over all of Disney Springs. And just that whole day, it was a great wrap up before we had to head back and get back to reality.
Yeah, that's the worst. All right. So as we wrap this show up here on a Monday, give us one piece of advice, maybe something that you discovered during the trip or something, you know, as you reflect on the trip now that it's happened, somebody that maybe is considering going down on a mother-daughter trip and they're not looking to spend a fortune, but still have a great time. What could you tell them today?
Yeah, I would say keep listening to podcasts like this and keep researching, because there is so much to do outside the parks. There is stuff at every resort. There's shops at every resort. There's pin events. There's still stuff I want to do, like do the Animation Academy at the Art of Animation Resort, Characters of Flight, like the hot air balloon ride. I can make a whole vacation of going down to Disney without stepping foot in the park. It's like the parks are kind of a bonus to me than why I go down. They're such a magical place no matter where you are in property.
Love that tip. And Mackenzie, thank you so much for carving out some time. It sounds like you had a great time with your mom, and hope to have you on the show here soon and maybe catch you down at Walt Disney World. That'd be great.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. You need a great summer read. Besides Ridley Pearson, I know another amazing author, and his name is Dr. Jeffrey Barnes. He wrote The Wisdom of Walt. It ties Walt Disney's vision of building Disneyland into our everyday experiences. You know, you want to have better interactions with those people you work with your family, your friends. This book tells you how Walt got people motivated to become a team and to do what some people said was the impossible and to bring things to life. Just little lessons like that are in this book. It's great for the summer. Check it out today. You can get it on Amazon, or I just, you know, would encourage you to drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. Just drop by touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, anytime you do any shopping online, please support the show. Thank you to everybody who is doing that. It helps so much. Just go through our affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks so much for checking in here on a Monday. Hopefully your week is off to an awesome start. We're going to get together again on Wednesday where we answer your listener questions. So for Mackenzie, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome week. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.